Do the next right thing to make your marriage sing.
All I ever wanted was to be in love with you. When your eyes met mine, I knew that this was really true.
Hello and welcome to the 44th Music of Marriage radio show with
Bob and
Evie. And we are at themusicofmarriage.com if you want to look up and hear previous radio shows. We have some in the podcast format there. And we also have a book, How to Make Your Marriage Sing, and that is Five Biblical Dynamics to Keep the Music Playing. All hopefully to help us pause, press pause, and think about what music we're playing in our marriages. What is the tune that we're living to and loving to? Or has the music faded, not what we want? So,
are we playing love songs or leaving songs?
Right.
We want the former.
Well, definitely marriage is a challenging but rewarding institution. Actually, the first institution created by God on earth before government or anything else, you know, the Rotary Club or whatever else you've got going. Marriage was created to sustain order. And how can we have
society, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And how can we have order without love? I guess when you see those war movies, especially the old Roman gladiators or whoever swinging their long swords around and so forth, it doesn't look like a lot of love going on right there. Sometimes that's the feeling we have in our marriages and home life when we fail to press pause and think about the music that we're playing. Therefore, Robert, as in Bob, would you like to continue with God's love language? We have a series we've been doing, picking apart word by word God's definition of love. We talk about our ideas of love and what it takes. And what that often does is build expectations. We read something in a book on marriage or a psychology book, or we hear something on TV or in a magazine, and suddenly we have all these expectations of our spouse based on this cool, new, insightful idea about what love is or what marriage should be. And then all of a sudden our hearts just drop, because, and maybe our anger starts to burn a little bit, because we realize, boy, man, he doesn't do this. And he doesn't do this anymore, or he doesn't do this enough, if only, or she doesn't do that. And so now you've got this list of five things you must do to have love in your marriage, or whatever it is. What problem with that we found is that it totally misses the heart that God is concerned about in marriage. God is not a God of rules. Yes, he has rules, but he's not about the rules. He's about the relationship. Same should be in our marriages, because our marriages were actually created to reflect the way he loves us. So that's the love language. That's the melody. That's the tune to follow in our lives. And we really need to press pause a lot. And I mean a lot for myself. And we need to say, whoa, okay, these words in God's love language, love is patient and kind, love does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude. We talked about boast, I believe, last time, and tied in with arrogant, but rude, wow. I think we can all stand to you know, the pause that refreshes. Let's pause and refresh our minds and our hearts about, you know, what it is that we're doing, that we're just falling into on autopilot, and maybe really not letting the true love language that God created for us to follow, that melody to guide us. So we want to harmonize with God's love language. Mm-hmm. So take it away, Bob.
Yeah, and it's good to know where that relationship starts with God, too. It starts on a low level, and that is, while we were still sinners, God loved us. And so God comes down to our level, not to righteous human beings or religious human beings. In fact, Jesus said, I've come to not to save the religious, but the sinners. So, that's really basically what love is all about, and that's where it starts. And so everything that love is, according to 1 Corinthians 13, stems from the love of God and the example of Christ.
So, yeah, exactly. Now, the dictionary definition of rude, what a rude-sounding word. The word just sounds rude. I think they call that onomatopoeia. I loved that word in English class. It's one of the few things I remembered from English class. Onomatopoeia. That is when a word sounds like what it is, like the word hiss, right? Yeah. You can think of others. Slap.
Or scratch.
But rude. It's. Yeah. I don't even really like talking about the word rude. But here it is in God's love language as something love is not rude. Yeah. So the dictionary definition of this rude word is, to quote the dictionary, offensively impolite or ill-mannered. You're in the grocery store aisle about to reach for the ketchup. Thankfully, it's in a plastic bottle because somebody kind of quickly cuts in front of you without much warning or any effort to say, excuse me, sorry. And thankfully, the ketchup bottle is plastic because he knocked your arm and it fell to the floor. That might be considered rude. Like, what? That was pretty rude.
Or the guys on the road who won't let in an emerging person on the highway.
Yeah.
And
what's going on around here?
Even though they might be ready to hit a guardrail if they don't merge soon.
What is going on around here? This is sweet Tennessee. You know, the Mayberry feel. Not so much lately when I'm coming down I-65 and I hear this, woo, you know, this sounds like a hornet coming beside my car out of nowhere, blazing 110 miles an hour. Yeah. Needless to say, rude isn't something we're going to have a hard time understanding what that is.
And it comes in much more subtle forms as well, not just some of the more obvious forms where we can, you know, wipe our hands clean of. It's amazing how little it takes to be rude. And how little it takes is just having a lack of love. Right? Because the negative always implies the absence of a positive.
And here are some of the negative synonyms. A synonym is, it's not cinnamon, it's synonym, which is words that are kind of like the same meaning as the word rude. And those synonyms would be discourteous, uncivil, ill-behaved, unmannerly, insolent, kind of like an attitude, like I don't care, discourteous, and it goes on and on, really short, sharp, insulting, derogatory, abusive, tactless, uncomplimentary. So basically, if we, like Bob just said, the negative, which we just read, always implies the absence of a positive. And Jay Adams, who kind of started the Christian counseling movement, he was a great mentor of ours. Largely, not only did we personally, you know him, he was influential in our lives personally, but through his books, but largely very helpful because unlike modern pseudo-Christian psychologists, quote-unquote Christian, quote-unquote psychologists, he really just sticks to the scriptures and what God has to say to help us get our wheels on the tracks of our marriage. And one of the things he always said was, if you're going to remove something from your life, like rudeness, you have to replace it with something positive. Mm-hmm. So you can have all the, you know, all the motivation or inspiration you want. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. I'm going to, honey, I'll never say this again. I'll never do that to you again. I'm so, you know, well, you know, we probably will, and we might not lose the 50 pounds anytime soon. The wishful thinking is great, but until we actually stop that one thing that's causing the problem of rudeness and press pause and start playing the other music in our mind and in our mm-hmm. heart, then what, you know, obviously not a lot happens. Kind of like those potholes out here on that intersection of I-96 and, what is it, 9th Avenue here,
yeah.
Rio, that they finally, I'm like, oh, it's smooth. I don't have to come to a stop because they've been working on the road so long that it just about tears your car apart to go slowly through the intersection.
Yeah.
So we want to yes. smooth things out in our relationships and in our marriages by meditating on something so lovely as how to not be rude. Right, Bob?
Yes. So are you rude today? No, none of us want to think that we are, right? But actually, if you look up a synonym of rude, you're looking at the word polite. And the definition there is having or showing behavior that is respectful and considerate of other people. Some synonyms for polite would be thoughtful, respectful, caring, civil, courteous, mannerly, deferential, in other words, showing deferential, showing deference to someone, well-behaved, you know, gentlemanly, ladylike. We don't hear too much of that kind of thing anymore. You know, gracious, tactful, diplomatic. All these things are quite a litany of character traits that
yes.
really impact your relationships. And if rudeness implies the absence of love, well, then love is characterized by the presence of good behavior like that.
That's right. And we can break down and conquer walls that have been erected in our relationship. Sometimes we don't even know, how did this wall get here? Where brick by brick, rude act by rude word, we have built walls that just make our spouse feel like, you know, I love you, but, you know, you're really, you know, I don't really feel that happy around you lately or right now or whatever. And then maybe that wall just keeps getting built brick by brick by brick, and we don't stop and press pause and say, what music are we playing in our marriage here? Mm-hmm. What's in my mind? But we can break down and conquer those barriers in our marriage and other relationships by removing rudeness and replacing it. So we just try to do a word study here, and speaking of breaking down, just, you know, break down what does that look like? What are some of the things that we can do?
For instance, starting with manners, perhaps, C.S. Lewis in his book The Four Loves says that there are public courtesies that we're careful to display. Well, and I might add, sometimes we're not careful to display, but getting back to C.S. Lewis, but that domestic courtesies are even greater expressions of affection. And see, domestic courtesies are, you know, manners within the home and when you're in private, when no one is looking. There are even greater public courtesies because character is doing the right thing, especially when no one but your spouse sees it. Or if you're driving in the car, no one but God is seeing it, or perhaps the other driver. And if you're being courteous to another driver, well, that comes from loving your neighbor, right?
And a general tone of your spirit, like a willingness to stop and think about your own faults. And that's something that does not come naturally to me. But this study, this word study of God's love language, as it is laid out for us here, has really forced me to say, oh my goodness, you know, how little time I spend noticing my own rudeness, but how much time I spend noticing other people's rudeness and then talking about it, maybe, hopefully not, because that isn't what we're supposed to do, is be tearing down other people. I mean, that in itself is a problem. If we notice someone is rude, how often do we just kind of keep it to ourselves, forgive them, show grace and love to them, and move on? Or do we feel like, I got to share this with my girlfriend or my mother or with so-and-so at church or at work?
Or on Facebook.
Facebook. That's a whole nother problem in itself.
Arena of rudeness.
Anyway,
No, could be for good. Any forum.
Yeah, if you're selling your old lawn chairs, that's fine then. But
you
can get into a lot of problems there on social media. I call it social media, capital M, capital E. Right?
Right.
Because it unfortunately devolves into a kind of a really hurtful, harmful place. But we're going to...
Like anything, though, it's in and of itself is neutral. And so what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
And what you put into anything reflects what's in your heart.
And it's amazing how these social media, capital M, capital E, dia sites, it's amazing how they reflect what's in your heart. Because you're sitting there, I've been off it for a few years now, you got to sit there and think, do I say, oh, blue's my favorite color, or no, I really don't. I mean, every little thing you think about, how's this going to come across? Because you want to sound like a decent person. But then sometimes you get all fired up and you're like, you know, I'm just going to shoot out this Bible verse and that'll straighten them out. That would be my thing, you know. That doesn't even always work so well.
Maybe someone's offended by blue.
Right.
And you said the wrong thing.
Right. So, I mean, that's a whole trap. I saw a wonderful book title the other day. I want to get this book. 10 Reasons to Get Off All Social Media. That was in black and then in red. Right now, I'm really curious to see that one. So rudeness and marriages and relationships. Back to how to conquer relational walls that are built up by the media, the me-ness of who we are. And so, you know, another thing Bob was saying that this, I think, is in our book, that domestic courtesies, manners within the home and in private are even greater than public courtesies, because character is doing the right thing when no one is looking. And I remember being taught that in Sunday school, you know, God sees. He says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So if we really want to have renewal in our relationships, in our marriages, we have to be willing to look at our hearts and say, what is God seeing in my heart? And really walk that line, you know, walk a tight line
and
there.
We can't relax in our to the point where we forget the root principles that engender things like good manners in our marriages, because then things will devolve into, you know, tit for tat arguments that actually begin reinforcing this whole idea of rudeness. And rudeness just grows like a weed, essentially, in marriages. And it chokes out the life of the flowers and, you know, the fruit trees.
Well, and it's our own personal responsibility it's my responsibility as a wife to, and as a human being or a friend, to say, take time out, Evie, look into your heart, look into your way of doing things and what is rude about it, mm-hmm. and replace that. It's not really that hard to think of what you might want, should replace it with. So another yeah. thing we're going to get into, well, we're going to play this song, Hey Jude, Don't Be Rude. Hey Jude, no. Hey Jude by the Beatles. What does that have to do with rudeness? But I thought it was kind of cool, the words about how he's trying to suggest mending a relationship when someone's been kind of rude, yes. basically.
So here we go.
After we play that song, it's kind of cool. We're going to talk about building up core strength in your marriage with politeness, but how your worldview makes such a difference in whether or not you're going to have success in, you know, restoring politeness and so forth in marriage.
You got that right, Evelyn.
So here we go with Hey Jude by the Beatles.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better. And anytime you feel the pain, hey Jude, refrain. Don't carry the world up on your shoulder. For well you know that it's a fool who plays it cool by making his world a little cold. So let it out and let it in. Hey Jude.
Okay, guys, we're back to The Music of Marriage with Bob and Evie. Yes. And again, it's themusicofmarriage.com where you can hear podcasts, share them, encourage other people in their marriages, encourage yourself. And
in fact, the podcasts are of these radio broadcasts.
That's correct.
They are.
So we don't have them all up yet because we're on our 44th one, but we got a lot. We're going to add more and more. And this particular series, God's Love Language, they're all up there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're breaking down word by word God's love language as spoken in His Word, as in 1 Corinthians 13, which, whether people acknowledge God or not, they do play by His rules. And what we see when we open our hearts and minds and ears to what God's love language is for us, we see that we are, you know, able to break down barriers and turn our lives around as we pay attention more closely to the various aspects of what love is. And one thing God's word says is love is not rude, which means by implication you've got to replace rudeness with something else. And we were talking about how a Christian worldview, or Bob and I were this morning, how that really helps us a lot, that the manners we talked about, you know, is obviously from a human perspective, how we discern, oh, someone was rude or impolite, our spouse or whatever. But when we have a Christian worldview that starts in the heart, that changes everything. Does it make us suddenly not rude people? No. And sometimes those of us who claim to be Christians are really bad examples because we're not perfected yet. In heaven, that'll be, you know, it'll all be fixed. It'll be the way it should be, right?
Yes, and unfortunately...
Sorry, Bob, you're going to have to wait till heaven to know me as I should be.
And unfortunately, we're often better examples in church than we are in the checkout line, right?
Yeah. Yes. So, God have mercy on us because in the topic of marriage and relationships, we certainly not only have a lot to learn, but positively speaking, we have so much that's within our grasp, so much that we could be enjoying in our life. If I would just decide to look at my husband and treat him with kindness and specifically choose, you know, I'm not going to react that way, boy, things really do turn around. So this Christian worldview, you have a worldview. Everybody does. Everyone comes into this world with influences. Your family, what you grow up in, if the TV's blasting 24/7 and Vanna White's on every night, or the Munsters, or who, you know, Full House, late night show, whatever it is, the news. That forms a lot of our brain waves and signals, the music of our mind, in our minds, that we're born into. And I know for me, when our children were little, by the way, we have 4 grown children and 11 wonderful grandchildren. And we have been able to enjoy a lot of music in our home. We played music no matter how late at night it was. We even had band practices in the basement that were blasting the walls out, right?
Yeah.
But I do think that you set a tone in your home when you put sweet influences into the atmosphere. To me, the news on and the plastic sound of television is very... you know,
intrusive.
Yeah, invasive. Uninspiring, and actually depressing. And I think even for children, I remember as a kid realizing, yeah, I don't really want to hear about bombs dropping over there. That kind of makes me feel a little scared and sad. So what does this all have to do with love and rudeness, getting rid of rudeness? I think that we can be predisposed to a a sense of tension, uptightness in our spirits when all we hear, when all the, as children, what we're playing for our children or grandchildren, all they hear is this raucous, loud, kind of crass, even plasticky, unsweet tea of noise coming from the TV. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we found a lot of, well, classical music. I grew up actually playing classical music. And I hope, I'm waiting for that to be a thing again. Bach and Mozart and these amazing, powerful pieces of music who some very famous musicians have been greatly influenced by. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, very much so. So there's a tone there that is set in our home by just what are you putting on in your home? What TV shows? Are they scary? Are they depressing? Are they dark? Or does the TV need to be off a lot more?
Even children's shows can influence the minds of children if you're not, if you're unsuspecting in a direction that is absent of a Christian worldview.
Right. And the outlook on the world that a child or a person gets, even an adult, even your older mother or father that's in the home that doesn't have a choice of what's on. You're caring for them, whatever. They're living with you. But you're the one picking what's on the airwaves. What is the atmosphere? What is the tone in the home that you're setting? And if that isn't infused intentionally with kindness and sweetness and positivity and forgiveness and manners, is there, what's your table time? What's your dinner time like? Do your children learn manners? Do they interrupt? Is that okay for us to interrupt in our home? That's kind of rude, mm-hmm. interrupting.
It is.
Now, we have a very precocious bunch of kids, and it was like watching a bunch of Sesame Street characters. I couldn't control. And it was so, it's so humorous watching them that I thought often, you know, I don't even care if they interrupt each other. They're just funny. Yeah. They're hilarious. And then I thought, man, I'm kind of like, this interrupting thing is rude. I should be on this, but I didn't kind of want to be that strict either. But I think about things like that. And it's just to say, if we're going to have love in our home atmosphere, let's think about the sounds and the tone, the input that's molding us, that's predisposing us to a kinder, gentler, you know, maybe we should just be sitting around reading more beautiful poetry mm-hmm. and like calm and sweet things and get back to some of these concepts from the era, maybe the Victorian, and I don't mean go full Victorian. I mean, some of this genteelness. I think we're ready for that. I think that's been a little bit missing.
Yeah, our grandchild, who's, I think, almost a teenager, just read the entire Grimm's Fairy Tale series. And just beautiful stories. A lot of them have very good moral teachings.
Right. So, again, how do we build core strength with kindness and sweetness and politeness? Well, our worldview has a lot to do with it. And when God's in that mix, mm-hmm. He is love and He is beauty and He takes ashes. He makes beauty from ashes. And
yes.
If we've ever thrown ourselves on God or run to the church, run to a preacher, run to that Christian friend we have for prayer, because what we should be doing is realizing ourselves. It's right there for each of us. It's just right there.
It is.
To have that beauty.
But when there's a disconnect from the love of God, the foundation and motivation for respect begins to crumble. And that's when rudeness is inevitable. If you don't respect a person, you'll tend to be rude or justify being rude to that person.
Yeah. And when we demean God, you were saying this morning, Bob, when we demean or demean God, we inevitably then do the same thing to his image, which is one another, because we're created in God's image. So if we don't think much of, you know, slapping down God, slapping down his word or anything so-called Christian, I mean, it's already been kicked out of the school systems for quite a long time now. And when you look at what's replacing it, it's definitely a different religion. It is a religion, because everyone has a relationship to God. That is religion. So what worldview, you know, for demeaning God, I remember what seeing on Time magazine in the 70s, God is dead, which I laughed at. But somebody thought they were going to inform us on the cover of Time magazine, God is dead. Well, if God is dead, then love is dead. So why are we surprised that divorces ensued? Yeah. Why are we surprised that people don't know how to get a grip on that, on why that we don't know how to get a grip on our proclivity, our tendency to be rude and unkind to the point where our spouse doesn't want to be around us anymore?
Well, for those who believe that Christianity is just a myth or an intrusion into our freedom, there's this sense that we believe that we can be decent, loving, tolerant, justice-seeking human beings without God and without moral standards. But that assumption really is a house of cards, because it all collapses without a solid moral base, because you don't have any point of reference from which to choose right or wrong. Then you become your own point of reference. But the solid base that Christianity gives us is second to none, because the gospel reaches into and transforms not only the overall direction of our life, but the small details of our lives as well. Sinclair Ferguson made that comment. And you know, that's where it all begins.
And the secular attacks, talk about demeaning God, the attacks on biblical and Christian worldview, which, you know, you don't have to look too far to see that, it creates rudeness, really. And it results inevitably in rudeness to God and to man, and it makes it more easily acceptable and normalized to be rude, as seen in your friendly social media accounts, ruining relationships as it does. Attacking biblical norms and Christian worldviews also results in assuming that we can be decent, like Bob said, you know, without God's involvement. So even in this culture, it gets to a point where I think you were saying rudeness is even looked at as being cool.
Yeah.
So what we have is, you know, preachers more easily trying to be cool and relatable.
Like late show TV hosts, you know.
But yeah, I've heard preachers start incorporating curse words like, you know, yeah, you got to relate to the, I guess you got to lower your standards is what they're saying. And so all that does is then make us go out of church thinking, okay, well, that's okay to use curse words. Political leaders and wannabe influencers, quote-unquote influencers, are diving deeper into darker places in the deceptive quest to bring us all into the light. But what kind of a light is it? The devil parades as an angel of light. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that would be something to meditate on. The devil parades as an angel of light. There are many political leaders and quote-unquote influencers that get big, you know, people look to them, they admire them, they adore them, rather than firstly admiring and adoring God and what he has to say. They admire what the influencers are saying. They want to be cool, they want to be like them, and they don't even realize that these purveyors of quote-unquote light are really diving into deeper and darker places. So rudeness, believe it or not, has many tentacles, you know, like an octopus or a spokes on a wheel or something. Yeah. When you abandon and turn your back on traditional, which the word traditional doesn't really even apply. Christian principles are not traditional. They're timeless. They're eternal. When we decide we want to be cool, so we're suddenly going to throw in a curse word in a sermon or in a, oh, on TV. Well, they made it okay recently to use the four-letter words on TV. Mm-hmm. So how does that help you to think that you need to kind of stop yourself in your speech if it's just everywhere and it's acceptable all of a sudden? Now, that's a challenge, and that's something I think we need to not only look at personally and under our own rooftops, but in our church community, in our school community, and in our culture at large. How are we doing each other any favors by allowing ourselves to accept being rude to one another?
Yes, we're not, because if you're not denying yourself, well, then taking up your cross daily and following Christ, as Jesus commanded us all to, is really impossible. And so we're not doing ourselves any favors in that sense. But we were created for better things than that, right? According to Ephesians, we're God's workmanship and created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so we weren't created to pursue our own passions in life. We were created primarily for good works. And it's wonderful if those passions can intertwine the good works, but our main purpose in life and ultimate goal in life is really the glory of God in our lives, and the love that we show to others. It's not in our own pursuits.
That's right. And manners, as opposed to rudeness, they're not just for looks, they're for keeps when it comes to marriage and relationships. This is seeing that the broad direction of our life actually transforms the small details. The broad direction is your worldview. If you kind of have a hopeless, godless worldview, you get what you get. If you have a God's word-filled worldview, it transforms the small details and improves your whole situation. It helps us not to be rude to our spouse. Are we rude to our spouse in front of our children? Let's not do that. Mm-hmm. Are we rude to our children? Let's not do that. The Bible says we are to be gentle. Do we raise our voice at our children? Of course, we all do. Do we call them names? Do we argue incessantly? Do we care more about airing our own opinions and the opinions of others? Proverbs says a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. How much each of us can relate to that? So we can train ourselves to display courtesies, train ourselves to be thoughtful and caring. The Bible says, be imitators of God, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And I think we have a song called You've Got a Friend from one of our favorite artists of, I think you probably all know James Taylor's song. So that's what we want to be, really. We're going to restore our relationships, the core strength in our marriage relationships, mm-hmm. by being a friend, which means creating a nice, sweet environment. Think about when you're first trying to romance someone, your spouse. What do? You have flowers, you have candlelight, you read poetry, you play a song on the guitar. You make it sweet. You make mm-hmm. the atmosphere very loving and very enjoyable for them. No rough edges, no sharp words and things. So that's what we're trying mm-hmm. to, get a grip on. And you know what? The good news is God does help us. And the minute we begin, like the Hey Jude, he just saying, the minute that you start, mm-hmm. everything changes. Even Paul McCartney knew that when he wrote his song. Yep. So to sustain those core relationships, we need to know that we've got a friend. And so here we are with James Taylor, You've Got a Friend.
When you're down and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, now all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking on your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh yes, I will see you again. Winter, spring, summer, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you got a friend? People can be so cold. They'll hurt you and desert you. Will it take your soul if you let them? Oh yeah, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Oh baby, winter, spring, summer, or fall. Hey, now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend, yeah. Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Good to know you've got a friend. Oh yeah, yeah, you've got a friend.
We're back with the music of marriage, wrapping up the subject of rudeness. And
what an exciting subject, rudeness.
Yes.
Don't y'all just want to hear what it has to do with our relationships and how to build. We talk about building core strength and how we can, if we replace rudeness with kindness and politeness, stemming from this worldview that's yeah. from God's love language, the benefits and the amazing changes that will make for positive, for the positive.
And if we don't, then others cannot benefit from our person and our gifts and our time in consideration. But one thing we might want to note is that rudeness is usually not a one-time event, but a pattern. So address the patterns of self-centeredness in your life that are stubborn and habitual, and they're often unconscious, actually. So you really got to dig deep. And in marriage, you have a relationship. If you've had a relationship that goes stale, well, with many unmet needs and unfulfilled desires, then start addressing what those needs and desires that you've been contracted by God to fulfill. Okay, and the last point I want to make is that you can only dislodge a habit by crowding it out with its biblical alternative. So start where love comes from and what love is, and pray for the power of God to apply them.
That's right. So themusicofmarriage.com, our book, How to Make Your Marriage Sing, and podcasts. And we're going to end up with Stand By Me with Ben King and Percy Sledge. That's what we need to do, stand by each other. Let's not be rude, Jude. Okay, here we go. Stand By Me.
All right.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand, stand by me. And darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand now. Stand by me. Stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear. Just as long as you stand, stand by me. And darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand. Stand.